Victory or death!
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 Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Radio Free Virginia. I'm your host, Hank Reardon, the voice of freedom behind enemy lines here in the Commonwealth of Virginia, bringing you the Patriots, the information you need to stay in the fight to preserve your liberty. This is episode 23-4, the fourth episode of 2023. January's flying by, isn't it? Already gone, almost. And the Democrats are still working hard to take your liberty. What does VCDL have to say about that? Well, some good things. It says elections have consequences. Yesterday was an excellent day in the Republican-controlled Virginia House Public Safety Subcommittee number one. I guess there's two subcommittees. All of the gun rights bills in committee passed, and all of the gun control bills were defeated. With the exception of one bill, HB 2467, the votes were partisan, with Republicans voting for your basic human civil rights to protect yourself and your family, the Democrats voting against that right. So one party wants you to live free and in safety. The other wants you to live helplessly, living subservient to government under the guise of public safety or for your own good. Both parties should be on the same side, working to protect all of our civil rights, but that's simply not the case right now. One of the highlights of the meeting was when the subcommittee chair, Delegate Nick Freitas, had enough of the elitism of the other side and dressed down Delegate Dan Helmer. Let me say this. I gotta get video of this. It sounds great. Nick Freitas is one hell of an orator. A few years ago, one of the speeches in the General Assembly went viral. Delegate Dan Helmer got what he so very much deserved when Nick Freitas finished. Our side wanted to stand up and cheer, but didn't because of decorum. The other side, which had no idea what decorum is, applauded loudly when a Democrat went on a rant, requiring the chair to bring the room to order. VCDL will have the exchange on social media soon, and I will provide a link for you to watch it. And I will share it here when that comes in. Another highlight was when Delegate Don Scott, Democrat Portsmouth, was speaking on his bill to strip the National Rifle Association out of its places in it appears in the Virginia Code, including repealing the NRA license plates. Scott railed against the NRA in his comments, talking about the exorbitant salaries. Well, I agree with him. He should see what Michael Bloomberg's salary is. And other things that he held in disdain about the organization. But then he piously claimed that his bill was not an attack on the NRA. Oh, heavens no. But just about removing a private organization's name from the code. When I got up to speak against Scott's bill, I pointed out that VCDL doesn't have a horse in that race, but that the NRA is the gold standard in firearms training. I disagree. I disagree. You know, I've talked about this before. NRA's training, I believe, is outdated and very basic. It doesn't teach you to shoot tactically, but it is a good starting point for somebody who's never held a firearm or never done that. It is great basic beginner class, but beyond that, I don't agree. I don't like the way they do their instructor certifications. I don't like the process for continuing things. That's why I got out of all that. I know another thing I don't like is the exorbitant salaries and the other shenanigans that go on over at the NRA. It's the same stuff that the Republican Party does, but they are, in a lot of ways, they do stand up for gun rights, but I still think that VCDL is the gold standard here in Virginia as far as that goes. I said the bill looked to be a personal vendetta. Again, because of decorum, I fought the temptation to turn around to DJ Spiker, the NRA lobbyist. At that point, say, DJ, what the heck is this all about? Did you run over Delegate Scott's dog or something? That would have been actually hilarious. Here's the outcome of the meeting. Gun rights bills reported out of subcommittee on Thursday and reported out of full committee on Friday. These gun rights bills are headed to the House floor for a vote next week. I don't know why. See, I know what this is. This is why we have these different subcommittees. They broke this one out, and if I remember right, under the Democrats, to have a specific place where you could send all the gun bills to kill them. I don't know why they didn't get rid of this committee altogether and just have it part of the other committee. Who knows? I don't know what goes on up there sometimes. HB 1407 exempts CHP holders from ban on carrying in the Capitol, Capitol Square, General Assembly, and state government property. That passed. Now, this is passed out of committee. It doesn't mean it's passed. Doesn't mean it's been signed. There's other things. It's got to get through the Senate, and then it's got to get to the governor's desk. So we'll track these as they go, and I'll report to you as that happens. HB 1422 adds USCCA to list of organizations that can teach CHP classes. Awesome. The more the better. I think that that thing is stupid anyway, because if you don't live in a locality that's anti-gun, you can pretty much put a gun safety certificate on, written in crayon, and they will take it. So this whole, like, got to have a list of approved organizations is a little bit silly, because if you can print up your own certificate using Photoshop, and anybody will take it. I still think you should get training, but I think the whole requirement for training is insulting. 1427 restores firearm preemption for local parks, permitted events, and community recreation centers. So what that means is preemption means they can't restrict by locality these locations, permitted events, community rec centers. A lot of localities, when they were given the right to do that, were doing that up in Fairfax and, Henrico and these places. However, this preempts them from doing it. Virginia is a Dillon Rule state, which means if the state hasn't specifically authorized a locality to do something, they can't. It's the same everywhere. So for the most part, these laws in Virginia are the same everywhere, but you could be breaking the law and not even know it, walking into, a rec center in Fairfax and not know that they have banned you carrying in there. So this would change that. HB 1462 repeals 30-day wait to be able to purchase a firearm using a new or renewed driver's license. That's dumb, even that you have to have that. You renew your driver's license and suddenly you can't buy a gun. HB 1570 exempts highway rest areas from the state agency gun ban. I don't care because I carry concealed. HB 1871 makes CHP valid for 10 years instead of 5. Now, that's awesome. Let me tell you why that's awesome. Let's say your locality charges the max, I think it's $50. Well, it's $50 you got to spend every 5 years to renew your concealed handgun permit. But if they move it to 10 years, that cuts it down to $25 for every 5 years, or $50 for 10 years. Love it. I love that. HB 2228, clarification that renewing CHP holders do not have to show proof original training was in person. HB 2420 sets a maximum 90 days for the Virginia State Police to process a non-resident CHP application. Imagine they take their time. HB, if they set that to 90 days, it'll still take them 90 days. HB 2449 protects CHP information from being turned over to anyone except for criminal investigation or prosecution. HB 2460 allows state agency employees, with a few exceptions, to store their guns in their vehicles while on state property. HB 2467 allows purchase of firearms using identification without a photograph. There's a bunch of gun control bills that were defeated. I won't go over the bill names. Auto sears to machine guns. 5-year ban on purchase of transport of handguns for 2 or more motor vehicle or boat DUIs. I wasn't actually that opposed to that. I hate drunk drivers. I think they should all get punched in the face several times. There should be some kind of more corporal punishment for these people. This one requires persons holding guns for another who is temporarily prohibited from owning guns to be at least 21 and live at a different address. This one makes requirement that all new guns after 7/1/2025 have micro-stamping capabilities. I've talked about this bill. It's stupid. The technology doesn't exist and would be easily defeatable. It would also increase the price of a gun by hundreds of dollars. This one creates a state-funded buy-up program for guns. How about removing NRA from the list, we talked about? Bans assault weapons, suppressors, magazines that hold more than 15 rounds. So lots of fun toys. Mandatory 3-day waiting period for firearms purchases. They've tried this in so many places and it hasn't done anything. It just hasn't. It doesn't work. They've proven it doesn't work. This is stupid. We might as well get rid of this. It doesn't work. And it doesn't. But that one failed too. Ha ha. expands definition of assault firearm and restricts purchase to 21 years old. See, this is assault firearm thing. You've started to hear this. They start saying assault pistols. They kind of screwed up when they did that because they kind of showed their hand and what they were trying to do with the changing of the language. Assault firearm, not assault weapon. Assault firearm, because they want to lump pistols in with this whole evil black scary gun thing that they're all about. This one requires firearms in a home with a person under 18 to be locked up unless carried. This one prohibits firearms in a state higher education building. So colleges, state colleges prohibits that, which a lot of state colleges, which, you know, there's a lot of goofy rules at some of these colleges. Requires proof of training within 5 years to purchase a firearm. That's ridiculous. Shall not be infringed. Shall not be infringed. These people don't know what that means. Or maybe they do and they just don't care. I don't know. Here's one. Amanda Chase. Senator Amanda Chase has two bills that are going to be heard in the Senate Judiciary Committee on Monday. SB 805 repeals localities' ability to prohibit firearms in parks, permitted events, and community rec centers. That's a copy of every. There's always a companion Senate bill for every bill that the House puts out. Not always, but usually. And then there's SB 1488 repeals Virginia's red flag law. And we'll see if that passes. I kind of doubt it. Two gun control bills have passed out of the Senate and now headed to the House. They were heard on the House committee, and where they will die, or subcommittee sometime after February 8th. SB 909 Favola requires that a person must be at least 21 years of age and not reside in the same home in order to temporarily keep the firearms of someone convicted of misdemeanor domestic violence or who is the subject of a restraining order. I didn't know that you lost your gun rights if those things had happened, but I guess so. SB 1167 makes it easier to civilly sue firearms manufacturers. Yeah. Can you sue a person that goes on a road rage attack? Road rage. A person that goes on a road rage. Can you sue a person that goes on a road rage attack in their vehicle, smashing several cars, injuring multiple people, maybe killing somebody? Can you sue that person? Yes. Can you sue that manufacturer of a car? Or the SUV, or whatever vehicle is always an SUV, right? That where somebody does this, or a truck, or whatever. Can you sue them? Can I sue Toyota if the person is driving a Tundra and he goes nuts, crashing into people? No, because that person is the one who did that thing. What he used to do evil is doesn't fall back on the manufacturer of that. It's absurd. Guns are made to kill people. That's what they're made for. The Second Amendment says shall not be infringed. You know, these manufacturers have the same Second Amendment rights that we do as citizens. A corporation is just an extension of a person, ultimately. And just like we say, corporations don't pay taxes. You know, corporations have rights because corporations are it's a shell, it's an entity that is really designed to facilitate investment and protect the owner and shareholders from liability and various different things. So they have rights too. So this is absurd. This idea that you can sue a gun manufacturer is just ridiculous for the you can sue them, but for the actions that someone else has done with their property, I mean, it's ridiculous. Can the town of Granby sue Caterpillar for what Marvin Heemeyer did? Because he up-armored a Caterpillar and drove it around and destroyed the town? No. Technology is an amazing thing, and it's something that I want to talk about now, and this is a little bit of a diversion from what I normally talk about. I've been playing with something called ChatGPT, also called OpenAI. It's got some other names. Essentially, what it is an AI they've taught to write. And don't ask me if it's a true AI, but when you start playing with it, you kind of wonder. You kind of start questioning if they haven't invented the dumb thing already. But I want to tell you about this because some of you have kids. Some of you have kids going off to college. Some of you, you know, maybe do some writing. And why is this important? Well, here's why. You can ask it a question. I had it write me an entire article on search engine optimization. I didn't write any of it. The dang thing wrote the whole thing, and it looks like a human wrote it. I mean, it's actually scary how good it is. I asked it a question, a couple follow-up questions, put all that together, moved it over into Word, formatted it the way I want, dropped it into a paraphrasing, I guess AI, more probably paraphrasing algorithm, and took the human content rating from around 20 to 30% up to 99% written by a human, because it tricks the other AIs that are designed to see if an AI wrote something. And I don't know how they do that. Maybe it's just too good. They look at it and go, you know, this thing is just too good. Obviously, an AI wrote this because the punctuation's perfect and the spelling is perfect and all that stuff. So I don't know. But where is this thing going to be dangerous? And you can sign up for this for free, by the way, and I would encourage you to do that. It's called ChatGPT, Golf Papa Tango. And I think it's from General Parsing Translator or something like that. Anyway, they've been training this thing for years how to write, and it's doing a very good job. I asked it to write me a story about a giraffe named Sally who wants to travel to a city and meet interesting new people. And here's what it wrote fairly quickly. So it wasn't like a person was behind the scenes typing all this in. Sally the giraffe had always been fascinated with the world outside of her home and in the savannah. She had heard stories from the other animals about the tall buildings and the bright lights of the city and longed to see them for herself. She dreamed of meeting new and interesting people and experiencing all the wonders that the city had to offer. One day, Sally decided to set out on an adventure to fulfill her dream. She said goodbye to her friends and family and set off towards the city. The journey was long and difficult, but Sally was determined to reach her destination. As she traveled, she encountered many obstacles. There were steep hills to climb and deep rivers to cross, but Sally's long legs and neck came in handy, and she was able to overcome each obstacle with ease. She also met many other animals along the way, each with their own stories and experiences to share. After many days of travel, Sally finally reached the city. She was awestruck by the tall buildings and bright lights. She immediately set out to explore, and as she walked through the streets, she met all sorts of interesting people. She talked to a businessman rushing to work, a street performer playing music, and a little girl who was fascinated by her long neck. Sally was thrilled by all the new sights and sounds of the city, but what she enjoyed most was meeting the people. They were kind and friendly, and each one had a unique story to tell. She made many new friends and felt like she had truly experienced the world beyond the savannah. As the sun began to set, Sally realized that it was time for her to return home. She said goodbye to her new friends and set out on the long journey back to the savannah. Even though she missed her home and family, she knew that she would always cherish the memories of her city adventure and the people she met along the way. Now, we say that AI has not achieved sentience. Okay, but it sure appears to have some sort of consciousness. I don't know. That's a pretty darn good story for a computer. And if you were to take lines of that and cut and paste into Google searches, you won't find the results. I've tried that too. It's not pulling this stuff. It's not plagiarizing. It's not, you know, hodgepodge, slapping things together, mad-libbing it or whatever. It is thinking and writing a story. Just as it is thought and wrote an article about search engine optimization for me. And why does this matter for patriots? Because if you have a job that doesn't involve your hands, if you're not doing manual labor of some sort, you will not have a job in 10 years if this technology continues to advance. If you're a writer who writes social media content or blog posts, or if you're a journalist, right there, your job is obsolete.
I have some audio here from the General Assembly. Take a listen, and I'll have some commentary after.
This is a class one misdemeanor to prohibit the use of the armor in the first place. So to me, that begs the question, there's an active shooter who is not deterred by all the other laws that we have, much more serious felonies that conduct breaches. Why do you think a class one misdemeanor would be an effective deterrent for that person?
Well, criminal law is always in part about deterrence, in part about punishment. And by the way, this is not, as I suggested to Delegate Watts, just an active shooter bill. I began with talking about the active shooter simply because I want to draw the committee's attention to the kinds of situations in which this could happen. But were it to be law in Virginia, and were our citizens to understand that I can wear this kind of body armor down Main Street, but not this kind of body armor down Main Street without getting asked by a police officer and told you're committing a crime, ticketed, arrested, or whatever, I'd like to think that would create a deterrent for that person to walk down Main Street in that particular kind of body armor.
So, in other words, you're saying for the person who is law-abiding, he would be deterred from using it.
But you concede that
a criminal who is going to commit a much worse offense would not be deterred to breach this law, this bill, should it become law.
Interesting point, Mr. Chairman. And, you know, actually, this sort of came up in our debate on the floor today, didn't it? I mean, you know, people are always going to break laws. I'll give you my personal opinion. The fact that someone might break a law is not a reason to not pass that law. We have laws against robbing banks. People still rob banks.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to think fewer people rob banks than otherwise would, since they know we have a law against robbing banks.
Do you recognize the qualitative difference in the moral harm of robbing a bank versus wearing something that is, you know, otherwise there's no malum in se in that? Well, I think that's the point.
I think it's going to be a case by case basis. I don't know whether there's any malum in se in it, but there are a lot of things I can't do. But I might like to do, even though I don't think I'm an evil person. I'd like to run a red light, but I can't because it's a rule that society has decided keeps us organized and keeps us all safe.
Mr. Chair.
Delegate Williams.
But you would agree with me that criminals who break the law do not care about the red light.
It's worse than that.
Delegate Williams. I don't know whether a criminal cares about the red light. If someone's going to run a red light, they're going to do it. If we pass this law and someone wants to break it, they're going to break it. But there are going to be a lot of people, law-abiding citizens, who are going to say the law in Virginia is now X. I'm going to follow the law. The General Assembly has made this policy decision. I'm going to follow the law.
Mr. Chair.
Chairman Bell.
Both, it is a Friday, you will get to go home, we will stay here, so I realize we're kind of dragging this out, but Delegate Sullivan has been here for some time, he's brought a number of bills, and I'm authentically perplexed, because this bill would make those Virginians you are speaking about, I'm not even going to make it a question, I'll speak to the bill, that we feel like we're kind of batting this around. Unlike the red light, where you're doing that because someone else is coming from the other direction, and so you stop the one driver so that the other driver can proceed safely, that's why we have red lights. What this law would do would be to make Virginia ensure that the people who follow the law are directly less safe, not at some remove, but we are saying you cannot wear the armor. This bill would say you cannot wear the armor that would protect you from from rifle bullets, even except in your house, where hopefully most of us don't need it, but the place you might need it, and there's forecasts of potential violence we hear here in Richmond, that may come. I mean, I may want to have it from my office through the car. I might want to have it in the car. I might want to have it when I drive home. I don't own it. I know of what he's speaking, but I can't recall in many, many ever seeing a bill like this. And so, Mr. Chair, I do have a motion at the appropriate time.
Mr. Chair.
I believe there's a motion that's being made.
If Delegate Watts hasn't spoken,
I can make it a PBI
so you have a chance.
Right, anticipating the motion, which will be non-debatable, I would just speak to the bill, and that is that I see it as preventative because of the distinction between hard body armor and bulletproof vests. And hard body armor, as the patron has articulated, is worn for a very specific purpose, and it gives the opportunity for law enforcement seeing somebody with the hard body armor of having, what is it, an articulable probable cause to detain them. I'm learning all these words. To stop that person. And with that, perhaps then, the fact that they, while that's open carry, are heavily armed, there may be a reason that that officer will then detain that person and get possible backup and stop another incident from occurring. So I regard this as an item that is reasonably defined as hard body armor that meets the conditions of concern as it has been used.
Okay.
Thank you.
Ms. Chair, I was going to do a PBI just so she would have a chance to speak, but now that... Okay. I've moved to table. Thank you.
Second.
All right. There's a motion to table the bill. Please record your vote.
Sorry. Delegate Ranson?
Yes.
Ranson votes yes.
Close the roll. The motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
So there's just a little audio of a bill that was tabled. That means it's going to be not talked about anymore, essentially. And it was about body armor. But this, I wanted to share that with you. So you can go watch all these subcommittee meetings. They're really interesting in that you can see how the process works, and you can also see how stupid some of these people are that are supporting various things or just their reaction and talking about them. I noticed this many years ago going up to Lobby Day. I would sit in one of these meetings and I was just sitting there watching this take place, and it was not even a gun bill. It was a bill about propane and whatnot, and you know, they were talking about the propane suppliers being able to recapture their propane from a house and have to be notified and all this other stuff. And the people that are our politicians, our representatives, some of them thought that this was about propane from your gas grill. You know, the little jug, the 5 pound, you know, the little 5 pound container of propane. And the lobbyists for the Propane Association or whoever it is had to really fight to keep her composure because it was the stupidest thing I was hearing in a while, and just it was dumb. So, but that's what you're dealing with up there. You're dealing with people that don't understand, you know, they're fairly one lane kind of people. But you heard Delegate Sullivan hemming and hawing and trying to make up crap, and he didn't understand this. He just thinks body armor's bad and he wants it gone, wants you not be able to wear it outside. And he referenced at one point in there, which I didn't have clipped, but he mentioned, you know, the protests of the 2020, you know, where we were all up there fully kitted out. Know, how bad that would have been and whatnot. And but he doesn't mention, you know, Antifa in this. He doesn't mention the other side. You know, he's just targeting us, targeting patriots. So that bill died. So that's good.
So at the time of the publishing of this podcast, there is currently a balloon, a spy balloon of the communist Chinese that they have the nerve to float over our country. You know, they have a saying, you know,
throw up a trial balloon, float a trial balloon, you know, things like that. But I think what this is the Chinese just seeing what we'll do. I have a couple thoughts on a couple different angles here. But if we don't do anything, they look at this and they go, might be a good time to invade Taiwan, boys. Let's go for it. If you listen to Sam Culper, you might realize that the Chinese aren't really ready for that. They don't really have the equipment yet. They're building it and they're figuring out how to do it. The amphibious assault force stuff that our awesome armed forces have, especially the Marines. But they could. If you remember, it was John Galt came on the show and talked about the shipbuilding capacity of the Chinese. I think he said something like we have 2 or 3 shipyards. They have 20 or 30 with the same capacity or greater than ours. So yeah, they're ahead of us for sure. That's the mistake of shipping all of your manufacturing over to what is actually an adversary. They're our adversary in this world, this global world that we live in, whether it's economic or military or otherwise. So anyway, they're floating this balloon. It's floating across the United States right now. And I can tell you, if it was me or any other patriot, one of two things that had happened. We'd have figured out a way to shoot it down and capture it, or we'd have figured out a way to blow it out of the sky. But it wouldn't be there anymore. And yet, Bumbles, the doddering idiot that is in the White House, isn't doing anything about it. No, we're not going to do anything about it. And the Chinese are saying it's an experimental weather analyzing scientific balloon. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. We don't care. It's over our airspace any more than you would tolerate us doing that to you. We're going to shoot this thing out of the sky. And I'd shoot it out of the sky. And I wouldn't care about the consequences. And it would send a message. We're not putting up with that nonsense. You're not putting dang balloon, spy balloon flying over our country, you nut jobs. So, but that's what's going on right now over the skies of the United States. You know, have you ever looked back at your life? Whether you're just contemplating your past or whatever, but you look back and you don't remember certain things, or it takes a while for those memories to get jogged. In the process of buying a house right now and cleaning everything out, trying to get rid of stuff we genuinely don't need. It's really stupid to move things you're going to throw away eventually. So I'm looking through things. I'm looking through old yearbooks all the way from 6th, 7th, 8th grade, all the way up through high school, throwing everything but my senior year yearbook away. But I was looking through them. And it's funny when you look back at your life and you go, you used to have, you know, I've had this view of myself. I'm 6 feet tall, but I don't feel 6 feet tall. And I had this view of myself when I was young as not very attractive. But looking back, looking at old pictures and stuff, you know, it's like, oh, you know, wasn't a half bad looking guy. And in fact, I was a pretty good looking guy. And then I start looking at my yearbook and I see all of these notes, full page with nice little doodle artistic drawings, phone numbers written by really cute girls in high school, and how oblivious I was about what was going on there. Keep in touch, and here's the phone number. Guess what I never did? Called them. Oh, man. That's actually a good thing. I mean, and think of the trouble I would have got into had I been aware of that. That, yeah, these girls and the things that they write, you know, oh, you're so funny. And, oh, you know, it's such a great time hanging out with you and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I was pretty clueless as a young man, I guess, in a lot of ways. Maybe still am. But I thought that was funny. You know, you look back, and I don't remember a lot of these things. I don't remember a lot of these people. I had to look up pictures and go, oh, yeah, I remember her. And looking through, you know, Christian camp photos here is, you know, there's must be 100 people there looking through, and I had trouble finding myself. I had to use the magnifying glass, and I'm like looking, go, where am I? Oh, there I am. Yeah, yeah, I was pretty buff looking guy back then. Look at that. And then, and I remembered some of the girls actually that I liked back then. And it's just funny to reminisce and look back at who we were. And you know, there's that saying that youth is wasted on the young, and it's true. It's really true. But I'll be back next week with more legislative updates. I hope you found this information useful, and I hope you're staying engaged on issues that are important to you. You should be contacting your local representative and saying, hey, this is what I'm passionate about. This is what I care about. And would you please stand for liberty? Because they won't if you don't demand that they do. They just won't. It's just the way it is. Remember, you were not made to fit in. You were born to stand out. I'm Hank Reardon. This is Radio Free Virginia. God bless you.